Okay, I'm going to give you some of the things that are happening. Somebody in Fenton said college. I'm not going back. Yeah. England. Grant's Trail. This one kind of hurts. A Rams football game. Okay. I feel you. Germany. This is funny, Mid Rivers. Showbiz pizza. Okay. Yeah. This one came in over and over and over in various forms. I'm not ever going back to 110 pounds. So somebody said a 30-inch waist. Most people just said being skinny. So it's just there. Okay. Anybody got anything here? Like, you're not going back to that place. And we can take a bunch of different angles on this. But anybody got anything? What are you not going back to? A place that you're not going back to? Yes, ma'am. Your mom's going, okay, you better make this good. So Antarctica. Yeah. Yeah. You've been there once. Check. But maybe not again. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Drinking alcohol. Yeah, man. Harley Davidson, you're not going back on a Harley Davidson. Yeah. Anthony, that was the moment. Yeah. See, here's the thing. We could talk about this in a variety of different ways. And for some of us, it's a milestone, it's a moment. For some of us, it's a, whew, I can't do that anymore. For some of us, it's a place so exotic, or maybe even it's just so hard to, costly to get to, that you're like, well, I won't get back to that. But we all have those places. In fact, I'm just going to go you a little bit further. There will be a last time for every place. I'm not trying to be morbid, but there'll be a last time you fish that stream. There'll be a last time you run that stretch of road. There'll be a last time you sit on that deck. There'll be a last time. And some of you are going, what does that have to do with Jesus, friend of sinners? Well, I want to tell you two stories today. And both of them have to do with Jesus' last time in Jericho. Now, let me pray for us. And let me just tell you up front that some of us are going to feel like, oh, I know this story, I can check out. Some of us are going to go, I got one story, that's enough. I'm going to leave when they break, because they always break and talk to each other, and that's where we're going to... I'm just telling you, you want to be here for the last part that Jesus has for you, okay? So let me pray for us. Father, we come before you now, across these sites, across this community, across this country, Lord, as we gather together, even being reminded yesterday of how many folks are a part of this church online. Father, we come before you now, and we're asking for your help. Some of us are wondering. Some of us are yearning. Some of us are absolutely convinced that you are everything that we've been saying. But God, I pray now that through your word, as we open it, as we listen to a story or two about your son, Jesus, that we'll be reminded of how much he loves us and what this means for us today. So it is in his name that I pray these things. Amen. All right, so Jericho, it's one of the oldest cities in the world. And it was situated on a very traditional route. People would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for these feasts and festivals in Jerusalem. This is one of the routes you would take. And in fact, we get a clue of that from the Gospels, but I will just tell you, Jesus has been spending time up here, and now this is the route that he's going to take. And he's going to Jericho for the last time, and then eventually they'll get to Jerusalem. Now, Jericho, we could tell you lots of things about Jericho, but I will just say this, it's the last rest stop. You know how you're driving someplace and they'll say, this is the last place you can check in before you go into the desert, before you go someplace. That's what Jericho was. After Jericho was about an 18-mile or so hike. I wouldn't even say it's a walk. It is an uphill, 3,500-plus feet change in elevation. You're going into the Judean desert. You're walking 18, 20 miles to Jerusalem. And Jericho was your last stop before then. So people would stop and they would gather at this very important city. That's what Jesus is doing. In Luke chapter 18, he tells his disciples one more time, hey, when we get to Jerusalem, the authorities are going to arrest me and I'm going to be crucified. So he knows where he's headed. But first, this story in Jericho, what we read, and we'll start in Luke chapter 18, and I'll pick it up in verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who had led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the details are pretty obvious. Here's a man on the side of the road begging for his very survival. He's begging for food. He's begging for money. It's a pretty strategic road. We've already said that. He hears a crowd coming by, a bunch of commotion, and he asks someone, "Hey, what's going on?" Somebody says, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." Now, he knows who Jesus is. You see, at this point, he knows enough about Jesus that he wants to meet Jesus. And so he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, this Son of David title is so, it's so heavy, man, that we're going to look at this next week. We're all going to learn next week what this Son of David title means. But I will tell you, this guy believes Jesus is Messiah. Now, when I say this guy, if you go to some of the other, like if you go to the Gospel of Mark, you will see that his name is Bartimaeus. Now, you might have heard that name. It might sound familiar to you. It's an Aramaic name. And anytime you see the word Bar in one of these ancient names, it simply means son of. So this is the son of Timaeus. Timaeus is a word that means highly prized. But the root of that name, really, is something that each of us prize. In fact, it's something that you prize today. To give you a little hint of what that is, I'd like for you to turn back to the people around you, and would you share with them your basic reaction to a little thing we like to call daylight saving time, okay? So maybe these four reactions will help you, but would you just tell somebody now your reaction? Because if you're watching and maybe you're seeing this later, today is National How Do I Change the Clock on My Microwave Day. So let's just talk to each other real quickly. What do you think of daylight saving time? Go ahead. So, obviously, the root word of this guy's name is time. Time is highly prized in our world. Last night, you felt like somebody robbed you of an hour. They didn't, but we feel that. We know that. So his name means son of someone who is highly prized. I just want you to know, I don't think that highly prized business trickled down to Bartimaeus. He hears this commotion and he calls out. So notice this, just I love thinking of these things. If that was a loud commotion, how's he going to get everyone's attention? He's gonna have to be louder than the commotion, right? So it's like, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." What's the reaction of people? Is it like, "Oh, we should take him to Jesus. Jesus loves dealing with, he'll help you." What was the reaction? We read it. "Shut up. Pipe down. Jesus has places to go and important people to meet, like, well, me. So don't distract him." What's the inference here? You're not important enough. You don't have enough connection. You don't have enough anything. Jesus, no, you don't have enough. Whatever that is. Any of that sound familiar? Like some of us grew up being told, you don't get to ask questions like that in church. Pipe down. Don't you stir things up. Sit still, sit down, shh. And the inference is, I don't know that you, like, I don't know that you think that I matter enough. Maybe I'm not important enough. Maybe I'm not, well, you fill in the blank, enough. Gang, if that's you, I need to say this out loud. That is a lie from the father of lies. That is a kind of darkness that wants to seep into your thinking to keep you from this Jesus. He's not waiting for you to get smarter or stronger or more put together. Jesus isn't waiting for you to grow up, to heal up, or to even stand up. Most of us come to Jesus like stumbling and fumbling and crawling our way to him. Jesus is a friend of sinners, which means Jesus already knows that we're broken. This part does not throw him at all. But now watch what happens in the story. He cries out. He makes a commotion himself. They tell him to be quiet. And what's his reaction to all of it? He shouts even louder. I love this. Here's your next takeaway. Don't let people get in the way of you discovering who the God of the universe is. Don't let a pastor, don't let me, don't let your parents, don't let a friend. And I can think of a thousand scenarios. Don't let that person who just, maybe they meant well, but it just felt like they were just always whacking you over the head with a Bible, and you're like, wait, I'm just trying to catch up. Maybe it's somebody that starts to say things that aren't even true. Heaven forbid. Maybe it's someone who says they know Jesus, but they did something so unspeakably dark to you. You can't even get, if that's you, I want you to know it is worth it to keep reaching out and crying out for Jesus because he's worth it. And if there's any way that we can help, if there's any way that one of us could sit down and say, listen, I'm sorry, let's start peeling some of that away, then you, listen, come talk to me. Come ask for help because we do this all the time. But I want you to know this guy will not sit still and he will not shut up and he cries out. And the very next thing that we see is that Jesus, what we read is that Jesus, when this man is crying out, it says he stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Now that word stopped actually means like stopped suddenly. He stood still. So I want you to picture, you got a big entourage, everybody's happy, everybody's celebrating, all this commotion, Jesus hears it, and then he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The next thought for you to notice is, like this cry for help stops the King of Glory in his tracks. Jesus says, bring him to me. And then there's one of those things that it's like, oh, Jesus, what are you doing? Because he's always asking questions. And he essentially says, so, like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Is that the question, Jesus? Now, I want you to understand something's going on here. Jesus is drawing this man's faith out, okay? Of course he wants to see. That's what he says. But if you hear what Jesus says next, it's even more than a mind-blowing miracle of giving him sight. But I think looking at this in this moment, as loud as it was, now it's really quiet. It's between two people. What do you want me to do? I think Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to know that he was seen. Hey, buddy, I see you. And now you're going to see me. And he heals him. He says, listen, you're getting your sight back. Your faith has healed you. But that word healed also gets translated saved. In other parts of the gospel, it's translated saved. In fact, in some of the old translations, right here it says, your faith has saved you. You see, I think there were two miracles going on that day. It was the miracle of sight, and it was the miracle of a spiritual healing. Bartimaeus was a sinner. I'm not saying he was blind because he was a sinner. Jesus cleared that up in other places. But I am saying that Bartimaeus needed God and all of God. He needed his mercy. Have mercy on me, son of David. So he trusts Jesus with everything. And guess what? He got everything. And now everybody is rejoicing. Everybody's thrilled. He's up off at the side of the road. Now he's on the road. And he, what does it say? He followed Jesus. This is now a Christ follower. And he is on the road with Jesus. And he is a part, a valued part of this community. That's story number one. It's a good one. This next story is one that is so familiar that, like I said, Some of you are gonna think there's nothing here for you, when I believe there's everything here for us. But first, let me just ask you an odd question. Maybe it'll make sense in just a second. Have you ever tried to freshen up or redo something? You've just tried to maybe correct something a little bit or just make it a little better. Just you think it needed a little bit of your touch, but the more you did it, the worse it got. Have you ever been in a situation where it's like, oh, that just didn't turn out well at all? Like you got the, I'm seeing nods here. Anybody? Yeah. Like all sorts of examples, right? I mean, I'm thinking of a remodel. You guys decide you're gonna knock the wall down. And then you find out you really aren't Chip and Joanna Gaines. So it could be, this is a true story. You ever just said something, you didn't mean it that way, but it just came out awkward, and now you're worried that they're interpreting it in a way that you never meant, and you just keep talking at the party, trying to fix it, like in real time, and you're making it worse, but your mouth won't stop talking. Anyone here ever? Yeah? No? You ever tried to freshen up mom's recipe? Oh, yeah. You know, we're just gonna take a little bit of that out. I don't know really what she did, but I think we can take a little bit of that. Let's put a little bit of this in. You taste it. No, that's not it. So maybe a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe I should put this in. And before you know it, you lost it. Anybody here ever cut a kid's hair? Okay, I'm just going to try to even it out on this side. All right, let me try this side. Right? I mean, it's just, guys, you got to start over. So in 2012, in Borja, Spain, there was a fresco of Jesus wearing a crown of thorns in this little cathedral, little church in a village. Nobody knew anything about it, but a person, nobody gave permission for this, but a person that was a part of the church said, you know what, I think I'm gonna refresh this. I think I'm gonna fix this up. And the result was so interesting that what happened was there were all sorts of memes, there were all sorts of comments on the internet, and it turns out there were all sorts of people from around the world who had to come and see this for themselves. Because you see, this was the original, and this was the restoration. Oh, no is right. Now, I want to just carefully, quickly say, I think this person had good intentions. From everything I've read about this, this person meant well. But how do you get to that? Here's how I think. I'll bet you this person didn't go in. By the way, the good news is this has caused such a thing that like so many people are coming to the village. It's actually, it's revitalizing the economy in that village. So much so that this person wants a cut of the money that isn't, yeah. So anyway, but I don't think you go in saying, I'm going to do a Jesus by Picasso. I don't think you go in doing that. I think you go in going, well, you know what? I'm just gonna chip a little bit of here. We gotta do a little bit of that. Ooh, that's not, okay, you know what? Now I gotta even it out over here. And before you know it, you end up with that. What's the point? When we try to freshen up Jesus, when we try to maybe chip away at something that makes us feel a little uncomfortable, or it's like, ooh, no, let's modernize this. And then we try to cover it up with that, or we blur the lines here, or we do this. And because, you know, this is, it's 21st century, man. If we're not careful, we're gonna get way beyond what the scriptures say about Jesus, and we're gonna end up with something like that. Now, when we talk about friend of sinners, he is a friend of sinners. He did own this. He did, absolutely. But I want you to understand, as he owned this, he never condoned the sin. Like, he's welcoming and loving people. Just look at his stories. You see it all the time. But Jesus is also talking truth with him and speaking bluntly, gently, lovingly, saying, hey, no, this is the better way. So it's truth and love. Let's just go on ahead and say, sin matters because Jesus is about to die on the cross. He's telling people, I'm about to pay a price. Luke says, or Mark 10 says, it's a ransom. It's a ransom. We'll get to that Palm Sunday. You really want to be here Palm Sunday. But we'll talk about this. Jesus says this stuff matters and sin matters, but you matter so much that I want you included in this story. That's what we need to remember, okay? So when we go through this now and we hear very famous story, Jesus, friend of sinners, I want you to remember all of that, okay? So hang on to that now. Here's the thing. we're going to read this story together. And like I said, in a second, I'm going to have you talk to each other. And some of you are going to go, I know that story. Well, great. Then you can help us teach it. Because here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you two questions. What did you notice? Maybe that you'd never noticed before. And what do you have a question about? Well, we won't get to all of them, but let's see what you got. All right. It'll take me 60 seconds or less to read this entire story. It's so famous. You're going to go, oh, yeah, I got that. Now, here's the backstory. We're still in Jericho. Years earlier, before Jesus walks through, a young couple names their baby. And babe, like, names were a big deal back then. And this name meant righteous one, pure one. What a great name, right? So sweet. You look at a baby and you go, well, yeah, that fits. Except not so much when he grew up. Because you see, little Zacchaeus grew up to be one of those dreaded tax collectors. And just so we know, he had permission by the Roman Empire to extort from people, and the influence of that was because there was always a Roman guard standing behind him. You see, he might have been a wee little man, but he had really big friends. So this Zacchaeus that we're now about to read about was loaded, lonely, and very, very lost. You ready? Here's the story, and then you guys are gonna talk to each other, and you're gonna remind your neighbors, let's hang in there and see what God says to us in these last few minutes, because it won't take long. Here it is, Luke chapter 19. I'm gonna start with verse 2. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So now y'all are going to talk to each other. Sites, I want to hear from you. Use the app. Let me know what you're seeing. But for just a minute, let's now talk to each other. What are you seeing? What did you maybe notice for the first time? Maybe this is the first time you actually read the story. You only knew the song. What do you have a question about? Go ahead, let's talk to each other. Let's see what God does here in just the next couple of minutes, because this is so important, all right? Give you some of the things that are coming in here. Was he making amends? Is that the whole business of the money thing? Somebody else said, was he buying his way into the kingdom? Great question. Let's talk about that in just a second. Jesus was telling Zacchaeus, you're not a nobody. Jesus saw him. Did he get in trouble for going to this house? Anybody else here have anything that you noticed or that you were, I'm trying to think, Jesus knew his name. Would you guys, anything here you guys want to add to? Anything that you're seeing or that you're wanting to talk about or that you think, oh yeah, no, that kind of unlocks something for me? Yeah. Yeah, so it seemed sudden. It was like, and of course, we're just getting the summary, yeah. But it was like, wow, in the course of two sentences, this guy lost half his net worth. Yeah, yeah, let's come back to that. Let's come back to that. Yeah, yes. Okay, you want to come up here and preach? Because I'm just going to go and I'm going to have a cup of coffee. That was great. Let me see if I can summarize it. You're saying, and maybe even in a little bit of a response here, is that this is talking about what's going on inside of Zacchaeus, what it's like to be an outsider, what it's like to be unseen. And now all of a sudden, how do I get in? How do I find a way in? And what a relief it was when it's like, oh, wait, you're inviting me in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's talk about this for just a second. There are a couple of things that I would say let's notice. It feels sudden, but then we don't know how long this had been churning in Zacchaeus. It says that he wanted to see Jesus. That's a pretty loaded phrase. What was that? I can imagine, this is me, I'm just imagining, but that Zacchaeus is feeling this emptiness and figuring out, you know what? Like, stuff isn't enough. Money isn't enough. It's not filling the emptiness. It's not covering the regret. It sure isn't helping with the loneliness in my life. How about this? Again, me just thinking. Don't you think somewhere in his business, people were talking about Jesus and going, did you guys hear that one of his disciples used to be one of us? I think his name was Matthew. He was a tax collector. How does he leave the business? How does he give up all of this? For all sorts of reasons, Zacchaeus wants to at least see who Jesus is. And somebody said, well, what's this short business? What is that? How short? We don't know. The point of the story here is that he gets to the road where Jesus is coming by. Remember that. Jesus is coming by. He tries to put himself in the path of that, but there are people in front of him. What does Zacchaeus do? He doesn't let people get in the way of he and Jesus. Now listen, this guy's a climber. He knows how to climb. He's devious. Did you notice it said he's the chief tax collector? He's the chief. So if all of these are bad, the chief of the bad guys is what? He's pretty devious. It means that his entire life, he knows what it's like to step over people, to betray people, to leave people in the dust and say, no, 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 it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. So now I want you to picture this climber is literally trying to, how am I going to see Jesus? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to climb this tree. Awkward. You got to tuck the robe in. You got to hang on to it. There's kids up there. You get down there laughing at him. I don't care. Get off of the tree. I got to get up here. And so he's climbing this tree, and he's trying not to fall, and he edges his way out on this limb, and then it happens. The kindest, wisest man who ever lived stops cold in his tracks again. This time, because there's a successful man up a tree, out on a limb, seeking answers. And what does he do? He calls him by name, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Now, you know, there's all sorts of research that gets done on names. There was one bit of research, I think it was UCal San Diego, but it was like, they started to say, like, the first name, the first letter of your name, you're more likely to live or to buy things from or to marry people who have that same first letter in their name. So I guess that means that Tom will buy a Toyota and live in Tawanda. I don't know how that works. I don't really see that. I don't see that. I'm going to give you a different research that I do think sticks up and holds. MRI studies show that when your name is mentioned to you, strategic parts of your brain wake up and fire up. Way more than other names, way more than other words. So when someone says your name, you're like, yes, Hello? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. How does Jesus know his name? I don't know. He's God. He knows each of you by name. Zacchaeus. Yeah? I need you to come down. I must be at your house today. Like, this is my whole mission. You see, what I love about this part of the story is that Jesus won't leave Zacchaeus up in the tree. What he says is, you got to come down. If you want what your soul is aching for, if you want the relief of forgiveness, if you want a life that changes everything, if you want soul satisfaction, then you can't just watch me from a distance. You got to get up close and personal. So I'm going to your house. Here we go again. He's a friend of sinners. When you think of the word sinner, because we've used it several times today, what comes to mind? Might be a name. Might be a kind of person. Might be a profile. But if we started scrolling through like how we define sinners, I'm going to say that most of us don't start with us. You see, the question is the same. How's he having dinner with those people? Here's the awkward truth of the gospel. We are those people. And when that begins to sink in, it starts to affect how we treat and how we welcome other people because of the way we've been welcomed. You ever been, man, your point was so beautifully said. Zacchaeus was an outsider. You ever been on the outside looking in? You ever been that person? It's like, man, does anybody see me? I mean, this is the first time somebody had seen Zacchaeus in a long time. Robin and I are at an event a while back, and lots of people there, successful in their endeavors, people. And our friends, we were going to hang out with our friends. But as it turned out, they couldn't be there then because their flight didn't get them in on time. And it was like, oh boy, okay. We knew some of the other people there, not as close with them, right? So it's the meet and mingle before dinner, and there are these round tables, and everybody's going, there's no assigned seating, so everybody's just hanging with their friends, right? And we're walking in and going, yeah, some of our friends aren't here yet. Turns out that they weren't going to be there at all because they missed their flight. So it's like, okay. Well, I know these people. Let's go up. And, hey, how are you doing? Everybody's really kind of pleasant at the surface, but everybody's already got their seating strategies figured out. We got nothing. Now you're like, oh, I bet the two of you worked the room. I'm just going to give you a little insight into the two of us. Even my wife, who is a relational animal, we both looked at each other and went, oh, this is... Like I told her, I said, I'm getting a middle school flashback. You know what I'm talking about? It's that moment, like maybe you had to stay and make up some homework or something like that, so you're the last one to the lunchroom, you're the last one to the commons, and everybody's already seated at the table, and tables, and everything's going on, and you walk in, and your palms are sweaty, and your mouth is dry, and your heart's beating, your stomach's churning, and your eyes are darting back and forth, but in your head, there is one thought, and you say it to yourself over and over while you're holding that tray. Look cool, man, look cool. But you gotta find a place to sit down fast, because you cannot make another loop in this lunchroom. That's kind of how we felt. There was one table left. It was empty. And I looked at her and went, oh man, this is us. There's another couple that comes up. Kind of the same situation, except they had a bunch of their friends that had made it on time, but they didn't get to sit down with them. And so we're like making a joke and going, hey, we should just sit down here together. They didn't have any other options, and their awkward sort of, it was just like, hey, yeah, let's do that. Like, oh boy. For the next 10 to 15 minutes, we're trying to make conversation. And I swear to you, this guy was looking over my shoulder almost the whole time. He was looking for an upgrade. I don't blame him, right? So it's just like he's looking for an upgrade. It's like, where is this? Now, I need you to know, God flipped a switch miraculously. We're now friends. There's something that happened about 15 minutes into that conversation. We ended up hanging out the rest of the night into the morning, hanging out together. Other friends piled on. It was quite a thing. But I was reminded what it's like to be on the outside looking in. Now, some of you at this point are going, 15 minutes? Seriously? That's my whole life. I felt that way when I walked into the lobby of church today. All I can tell you is in that moment, God kind of used it to, you know, just get my attention upside the head and go, don't you ever forget what it's like being an outsider looking in. Because I welcomed you to the table, son. And now you get to welcome other people to the table. You see, the Lord of all said to me, I want to be with you. That's what he said to Zacchaeus. And they have this meal, and sure enough, Zacchaeus starts to live up to his name for the first time ever. This whole money business, let me just say this. This whole money business, it's not him buying his way into the kingdom. It contradicts everything else Jesus is saying. If you look at what's going on, and we don't get the whole conversation at the table, but if you're looking what's going on, Jesus himself says, salvation has come today. This guy here, he's a true son of the faith now. He belongs in the family now. Something is going on around that table. And Zacchaeus says, I'm giving away half of what I own, and anybody I cheated, I'm giving you four times what I took from you. He's doing it out of a grateful heart. He's doing it out of a forgiven heart. This is not some kind of a manipulate God thing. Am I saying that when you come to Jesus, you have to like give away 50% of your net worth on day one? No, good grief. Now on day two, we're gonna talk. No, I'm kidding, I'm kidding, I'm kidding, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. I will just say this, and I it's not really the story, but it fits with the rest of when you begin to understand what God did for you, how much it cost him, you get to a place where you even let him into the most heavily defended part of your life where that wallet sits. And you start to go, wait, I can invest and do things in the kingdom. Like, I could do that. All of these other things in the community are great, but that, that has legacy. So all of those things, but it's not just money. It's all of us. It's all of us. And it's going to look different for each of us. We're going to learn and trust and stumble and surrender and ask forgiveness and learn and trust. And it's just we're going to keep doing this with Jesus. But the constant is Jesus. I do feel like it's important for me to say this. If you're someone who is very successful by the world standards, and I know there's a bunch of you that attend our church, I want you to know that there is a God who loves you so much, because here's the thing I've learned. You all want to be seen just like everybody else. And I don't mean in a, ooh, he's a big deal, ooh, she's a big deal. I mean, you want just one person to look at you and say, you know what, you matter. Not because of your money, not because of what you do for me, not because of your connections, not because of your position, but you matter. And I'll go you one further, you matter to God. If you're someone who is saying, yeah, I get that, but I'm just going to have to watch all of this from a distance, I want you to know Jesus knows you by name and is calling you into the story. And if that's something you want to talk about, then come find me, because I'm absolutely convinced no matter where we are on the spectrum, that's how much God loves us. I don't know who you identify with more. Is it the down and out or the up and out? Most of us live someplace in between. But sometimes we tend to look down on one or the other of those. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's all of us. It was his last time through Jericho. Think about it. Jesus is on the path walking towards them. Both of these stories, Jesus comes to them. Now, they reached, they cried, they did what they could to seek him. That is a part of it. But Jesus is coming to them, and it was the last time through Jericho. I'm not saying that they couldn't have heard the gospel again, but it does make me think a little bit. See, I don't know where each of you stands with God, but I do know this. You are standing in the path of grace. You're here. Maybe somebody invited you. Maybe you came on your own, but you are in the path of grace right now. And I just feel like, man, I promise I'm not trying to be too heavy on this. But there comes a moment when we get to decide. I'm not doing the old preacher trick of, you don't know how long you're gonna live. I'm not doing that. I trust God's sovereignty. I do. But you're here. And I feel led to say, no matter who we are, there are a finite number of times that Jesus will call you by name into his grand and glorious adventure. This isn't about fear. This isn't about dread. This isn't about worry. This is about wanting you to be a part of something because time is so precious. It is highly prized. And this is your chance to be a part of what God is doing. It is the relief of forgiveness, but it is the strength. It is the peace. It is the hope. It's the encouragement. You get to do life with God now, and then it stretches into a forever that we can't even fully explain. So how does that start? In both of these stories, these men had a conversation with Jesus. Now, we don't even know the full story of what happened with he and Zacchaeus. Apparently, an awful lot. That's what motivates everything that we see. But do you know what a conversation sounds like for us? It's prayer. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just real quickly, to just bow your heads. And that bowing of your heads, we always say this, but it's not about anything except making the room private. But for some of you, you're like, I don't even know how to start a prayer. It's your own way, it's your own words. But you now talk to him. God, I want to be welcomed into your family. Not because I deserve it, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. Forgive me. Restore me. Lead me. Move in closer than close. Jesus, I'm inviting you into my life. I'm confessing you are the Lord of all. I still have questions. I still got lots of stuff going on in my life that I'm going to need your help with. But I need you. Father, there are people who have prayed that prayer now in their own way, in their own words. I pray that you will remind them of what's happening. I pray that you will remind them of the rejoicing that is going on in the heavens. You have promised us that. I pray that you will encourage them now to step in even further into community so that we can celebrate with them. But I pray that each of us, no matter where we are, God, I pray that we will know how much you love us. And I, for one, am so very grateful that you are a friend of sinners. Amen. Listen. For some of you, it is time to go public with your faith. Let us know. We talked to you about baptism. We're getting into that season. I don't want you to miss that opportunity. For some of you, there is a thing that's getting in the way and you're stuck. There's a roadblock. Please come talk to us. Let's figure out how we can keep moving towards Jesus. But I would say for some of us, it's time to climb out of the tree and get involved. It's time to just say, wait, I want to walk with you now. I want to be a part of this community. I want to know and be known. There's a whole bunch of ways we can do that. It's been said by one count that there are over 2,000, close to 2,000 first names in the Bible. Think about that. That's a lot of first names. Why? Well, somebody once suggested it's because you can't tell the story of God without including the people that God loves. That works for me. It works. You see, who am I? I'm a forgiven sinner. But I'm also a child of the King. I am who he says that I am. And that is the best news of all. And it can be your good news too. So let's keep talking. Let's keep praying. Let us help. Let's keep listening for the voice of Jesus who's calling each of us into his story. Amen.